This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noelle Lim. 7:07 a.m, Wednesday the 13th of January, and in about 10 minutes we're going to be talking about the political impact of the emergency announcement with political commentator Dr. Bridget Welsh. And we're also running a poll on the subject on the BFM Twitter account, asking you, what do you think of the emergency declaration? How's it looking so far, Roshan?
Well, we've asked you that question, and the options are needed for stability at 10% right now, needed to fight COVID-19 at another 10%. Concerned about democracy has 70% of the vote right now, and not sure is at 10% as well. The thing is, there are only 10 votes right now. We just put up the poll like a minute ago. You've got about another 1 hour and 30 minutes to get your votes in.
So, as you said that, the voting number jumped to 32.
Oh, wow. Amazing. So, get your votes in some more.
All right. Now, in the meantime, though, we're taking a look at the markets. Noelle, how's it looking today?
Well, meanwhile, looking at the US markets, Dow was up 0.2%, S&P 500 up marginally 0.04%, NASDAQ up 0.3%. Asian markets were a bit mixed. Nikkei was up 0.1%. Hang Seng up 1.3%, Shanghai up 2.2%, the STI was down 0.2%, FBM KLCI down 0.3%.
All right, and for more insight into global markets this morning, we are speaking with Vasu Menon, Executive Director of Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, thank you so much for joining us today. So Singapore's STI index did start the year with a bang despite yesterday's close. What sectors are driving this overall upward trend?
Well, you're right. The Singapore stock market has done fairly well so far this year. The Straits Times Index is up almost 5% year to date, and that's just in a matter of 11, 12 days. Now, if you look at the breakdown in terms of the top 10 performers, you have names like Jardine, Tiger and Carriage, Yangtze Jiang, Shipbuilding, Wilmer, Sembcorp Industries, Hong Kong Land, SGX, Thai Beverage, DBS, Singapore Telecom and Dairy Farm. So it's a mishmash. You can't really identify any one particular sector. What the common thread these top 10 performers have, in my view, is that they're all cyclicals. They are companies that will potentially benefit from the economic recovery that's taking place in the region as well as Singapore. So I think that's the strength of the Singapore stock market. I mean, you have a big representation of cyclical stocks on the stock market, and the sectors, or rather the ones that have benefited, are really the ones that are seen as beneficiaries of the economic recovery. Looking ahead, there are going to be headwinds. It's not going to be a smooth sail ahead. A lot depends on how Wall Street and global markets perform. But also, I think the COVID-19 situation in Singapore has been very well contained. But if for whatever reason that spikes up, that could spook investors as well.
Now, with the US dollar starting to move from weakness to strength, what is your short-term view of the Singapore dollar? Because there is a certain relationship between the Sing dollar and the US dollar. Do you think the Monetary Authority of Singapore will deviate from its neutral monetary policy?
I think it's too early for the MAS to deviate from its policy. Yes, in the last couple of days, the last few days, the US dollar had showed some strength, but we remain in the camp that the US dollar will reel as the world heals, So the US dollar, is still likely to weaken because we think the global environment is one that's reflationary. Risk appetite is still pretty strong. We are positive on the outlook for the markets. And that will, take some of the shine out of safe havens like the US dollar. And we think that looser monetary policy from the US, is not going to make a big difference in terms of looser fiscal policy, rather, is not going to make a big difference in terms of resulting in the Fed tightening policy anytime soon. So the US dollar strength may be temporary, and we continue to hold the view that the Sing dollar will strengthen against the US dollar because the US dollar, we think, will continue to weaken. And the Sing dollar is now 132 or so against the US dollar. Our view is that, it could strengthen to as much as 130, 38 by the end of March this year. So we are of the view that the US dollar will continue to weaken, and the Sing dollar will, as a consequence, strengthen against the greenback.
Should investors consider hedging themselves with bellwether defensive stocks, given the rising uncertainty and number of cases worldwide?
Well, I think if you look at essentially what's happening in the markets, in the last 9 months, you've had technology stocks powering the rally in the markets. We think that the money is going to rotate away from growth technology towards value cyclical. So I don't think there's a need to be terribly defensive at this juncture. You know, I mean, of course, the road ahead is going to be bumpy, but we are fairly positive on the outlook. We think that the world economy is on a recovery path. With Biden in charge, you could see more stimulus. You've got more vaccines becoming available. Economic corporate activity is starting to pick up. You know, with more vaccines, the lockdowns could potentially ease. So we rather not take a defensive view. We think that, you know, the way to go for investors really to start positioning for the economic recovery, to look out for recovery plays.
Right. So value cyclical, would that be more mid-cap type stocks?
Well, you know, I think it's a combination of big cap as well as mid cap, small cap. I think, yes, of course, you know, the small caps have done very well because they are more domestic plays, and the recovery in, you know, in many of the economies have been really domestic driven. So it benefits small caps. But I think, you know, the big caps also have a say, because I think Asia is now being seen as more positive by global investors. With Biden in charge, less confrontation in China, the Chinese economy is doing very well. And all that augurs well for Asian markets as well. And so global money will start moving into this part of the world in a bigger way. And when they do, they usually go for the big caps, because these big caps offer more liquidity. So I wouldn't abandon the big caps just for the small and mid caps.
But speaking of China, Vasu, Chinese corporate debt defaults hit record levels in 2020. What caused this? And will we see more defaults this year? Will this affect China's recovery in any significant way?
Well, you're right. I mean, if you look at the numbers, last year, 39 Chinese companies, both domestically and offshore, defaulted. And defaults increased by 14% compared to 2019. And went up to $30 billion US dollars, right? So, I mean, seems like a big number. But if you put it against the context of the total, you know, amount of corporate debt in China, at the end of 2020, corporate debt in China was $31 trillion US dollars. So $30 billion is very small relative to the total corporate debt, in the order of, like, you know, 0.1% or so. So to me, you know, yes, defaults are up by 14% last year, but it doesn't pose a systemic risk to the Chinese economy. In fact, we are of the view that Chinese economic growth is going to be exceptionally strong this year. The Chinese economy probably grew slightly more than 2% last year, and we are of the view that the Chinese economy could see growth of, you know, close to 8% or even more this year. So, you know, China is doing fairly well in containing the vaccine. There's a big domestic market in China. We don't think this, you know, increase in defaults will, you know, derail that economic recovery and the strong performance of the Chinese economy.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Vasu. That was Vasu Menon, Executive Director of Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Quite bullish on the Asian region overall and China in particular. Well, understandably, because last year China was one of the few countries to chart any kind of positive growth at all, what with the pandemic. But Vasu is also of the opinion that China will continue to make great strides.
Yeah, I think it's coming from a low base too, right? But I think as far as we know, the latest news is that two Chinese cities, Langfang and Shijiazhuang, they are under some lockdown. I think there's some restricted movements there. But I think the Chinese have acquired a lot of experience in dealing with this coronavirus. By now, I think they know what to do.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to be keeping a close watch as well on how the Chinese economy continues to develop. But right now, some messages for you. And then up next, we're looking at the political impact of the emergency announcement yesterday with commentator Dr. Bridget Welsh. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.